Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Welcome, 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 my wonderful audience. I've got a real good guy tonight who Ginger was reviewing his ideas with me. I've been on his radio show on America Out Loud. And she said, you know, he talks about everything that nobody wants to talk about. And I said, that's me too. So we're going to have a very good show with J.D. Rucker today. And this is Refounding America, Reclaiming Ourselves. We're on Brighty on TV. And folks, don't snicker. Real TV. This you can watch on Roku. And you may be listening to it on PRN.live. I'm Dr. Peter Bregan. I'm a psychiatrist, Peter R. Bregan, MD. I've got the credentials, and they are corrupting. We're going to have a very good time today. All right. Well, are we looking at J.D. Rucker? I think so. I always get confused about how the split screens work. But there he is. Welcome to the show. I had a wonderful time being on your show on radio. That's weekday, 7 p.m. every weekday. On America Out Loud, which is just a marvelous platform. And I imagine you must write on that show, too. You're one of the columnists?
I am. I do post over there 5 days a week.
5 days a week you write something?
I do. And I have to write something for every show. So they're not as detailed as your articles. I see your articles on there. And yours are a lot more detailed. I'm more, you know, just get the surface stuff out there to the people and focus on the radio show to do the rest of it.
You do the surface version of what really matters, though.
Sure. I try to.
Yeah, Ginger and I, folks, we do a once a week column on America Out Loud. And that's our basic platform in addition to Bregan.com. And if you haven't, you know, been following us on our Bregan alerts, please go to www.bregan.com and follow us on the free alerts. Tens of thousands of people are opening that every week. It's amazing. We have an opening rate of like 50%, and usually for a newsletter, it's like 5% or something. So people care. Now, today, with this bit of breaking news, at least it's been thought breaking enough to be covered on the War Room. And the breaking news is something that I broke in 1992. So this is a slow arrival of the breaking news. And the breaking news is important that it's, just being repeated out there. And actually a dear friend of mine over the years, I've lost touch with her doing all this stuff about the world and freedom. Joanna Moncrief just published a review of studies on the SS, on serotonin. The drug companies, those wonderful people who are giving us the vaccines right now, well, they gave us all these antidepressants, starting with Prozac and Paxil and Luvox and Celexa, Lexapro, and just, you know, whole bunches of them. And they marketed them and became like the pill of the decade. on the grounds that they were going to cure depression and do it by jacking up serotonin, because supposedly your serotonin neurotransmitter is at fault and not delivering when you're depressed. It's a bunch of malarkey. It was not hard to debunk it. I did it on major, major television shows back in 1994. And then what is it called, JD, when they get rid of you? I forget that term. You get not censored. Canceled.
I was
canceled back in 1994 off of every major. I mean, I was on all the big TV shows. Got canceled them, and then for a little bit of while, I did reappear on The Factor, and I did appear once or twice again on Hannity. And that was the end of it. And recently, a friend of mine asked Tucker Carlson. He said, "Listen, you want this truth about the deep stuff? You know, read Peter Breggin's book and Ginger Breggin's book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators. I'll give you a copy." And the answer was, we don't have Peter Breggin on the show. So it wasn't like he never heard of me. So all this comes to mind and overflows, JD, because so today the conservative media, at least, is some of it, is carrying the debunking that these drugs help anybody and that they, in fact, increase suicide and increase violence. Yet they are still sold as suicide drugs. And as we get increasing numbers of people depressed, being withdrawn, you know, being frightened, being scared, feeling hopeless under COVID-19, under the terrible things happening in our country, as this gets worse, they get more into depressants, we're getting more suicides. And we're getting increased suicides among girls. And usually it's been dominated by boys. And I'm virtually certain that they just love giving those SSRI antidepressants even more to the girls, because they like those passive girls. You know, they don't want them talking back, and they don't want them relating. They don't want them socializing in the classroom. And these drugs just suppress the basic humanity, sexuality, love, caring, involvement. Have you, did you been following that at all? It just happened today.
Oh, no, I've been following it for a long time. Not nearly as long as you have, though, of course. But yes, I've been following, in particular, the rise, as you know, of course, suicides. But the rise in violence has been very clearly documented. You can look at literally every single mass shooter that has been here in the United States in the last two or three decades. And you will be able to associate all of them.
No, you can't.
With SSRIs.
No, you can't. We should have talked about it beforehand. That's an exaggeration that some of the real anti-people in our group have passed for years. I've been a medical expert in three of the biggest suits. The one Columbine, and he was on Luvox, Eric, and the Aurora Theater. And that gentleman had been on Zoloft and got crazy on it and then stopped, but it was too late. He was psychotic and had done all his planning. And then one case people don't know so much about, but it was a big one in the history of all this stuff. And that was a man down Louisville, Kentucky, who killed a lot of people at work. And that was just when Prozac started. And his doctor, because he hadn't been propagandized yet, when his patient came in psychotic, 1 week after starting Prozac, he said, maybe I should stop it. He's really talking crazy and violent. And he stopped it, but it was too late. The next day or two, he shot up a lot of people. But there's no way to say that all the shooters were on it. Many of them were not. The naval shooter years ago, too, he was on.
I should have clarified. I was referring to the young shooters, the ones that the kids. It is 100%.
I don't
and
think
we have
it's...
found it is. You look at the older people, you can take that away. But there's not been any young male shooters under the age of 22 who become shooters, mass shooters, and not been at some point in their life on these SSRIs. It's documented, sir.
I don't think so. I don't think, for example, no, I don't know that we need to bother with this. I mean, this is a difference of opinion, and I don't want to go into start citing the cases I've been involved with. But they do matter. They
but all
are.
The cases
a lot
that
of
you
them
cited,
are.
All the cases that you cited, you just said that they, at some point, were on SSRI.
They were on them at the time. That's, I'm the expert on these shootings. I've been in, you know, mm-hmm. all these legal cases. I was the shooter. Oh, Jesus. I was the medical expert for all the combined Prozac suits. That's how deep I was into this stuff, JD. There were 110 on each suits, and I was the expert for all of them. But they fixed the first trial, and they all disappeared. They actually fixed our side, worked with their side to fix the trial. And then when it was found, and so the fix was reported as a victory, and then when the fix came out, none of the press carried the fix. So, but
well,
no,
whether
it's
100% or 50%,
it matters.
Or 20%. The only thing that, I mean, I think it's funny that we're arguing semantics, but we're arguing for the same point, that these clearly have non-positive effect on children, especially. We look around and you see all of this violence that's happening. You see the craziest things. We're not just talking about the violence that makes the news. We're talking about people, as you mentioned, young girls going into these Taco Bells or other various fast food joints, and for whatever reason, because they had to pay 25 cents for a sauce, they're going to trash the entire place. These videos are all over the internet. Okay, and this is not something that's been around for, this has always just been the case, you know, since the 40s or 60s or whenever. This is a new phenomenon, and I think that you could tie very clearly the rise in SSRI use to this increase in youth violence, youth mayhem, if you will, youth chaos, and I would say also youth shootings.
Absolutely. I'm in a little different role than you are in some ways, in that as a medical expert, and I still am, I have to stay within that narrow, even with my guests, box of what I know as an expert, what I know. And so I think among the kids, I mean, we don't have to say another word about it. I just didn't want it to go by that every one of them was on the SSRIs, because it's not the case. But enough of them are. And it's also the worst cases that they're on. They these mass harm, two of the worst mass murders in history, Columbine and the Aurora Theater, they were on. So I don't mean to correct you. It's not worth it, other than just keeping that image, you know, that
sure
that I write the scientific articles and I testify in court and all that kind of nonsense. But it's done me good to be like that, I think. It's less fun, but it's done me good. We've had some really good talks together. What would you like to talk? You got any thoughts today? You want to take over this show now that I've been persnickety? And what would you like to talk? JD, what do you
have? Your show. You could be. Look, I'm going to be going on some shows soon. That you know, there's one they're trying to book me on, the Young Turks. So trust me when I say that your persnicketiness is nothing compared to the absolute hate that one is receiving from these leftist shows. So no, we'll call this good practice, you know. But again, yeah, we could talk about that. We could talk about literally anything. One thing that's come to mind, you know, when you were on my show the very first time, you know, we started talking about something that at that moment nobody had talked about. You were talking about the pandemic treaty with the World Health Organization,
yeah.
And I know that in May and June, a lot of the various sites picked it up. It became this big deal. You were bringing it on my show in February. And that was something that I'm actually very proud of. You said you told me, hey, I got breaking news. We talked about it, and that was big stuff. Since then, there's been one thing that I'm wondering. I want to get your opinion on it, and I want to see if you even knew about it, because I didn't know about it until 2 days ago. There's this organization called the Council for Inclusive Capitalism. Council for Inclusive Capitalism.
Boy, doesn't that sound exciting?
It does. And, you know, we always look at the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization.
I haven't heard about it. Thank you.
Council for Inclusive Capitalism. It was started by none other than the Rothschilds about 6 years ago. It's being pushed by the Rockefeller Center and many others. The way that this was described by Brandon Smith over at Alt .market.us. The way that he's categorizing it is, if you look at the World Economic Forum as essentially a, call it a think tank, okay, for the globalist elites, for the Great Reset, then the Council for Inclusive Capitalism is the tip of the spear. They're the ones that actually initiate what's taking place, initiate the push for the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, if you will. They are essentially the doers of the I guess you could say the strong arm of this liberal world order that they're pushing upon us. And like I said, it wasn't until Brandon Smith's article last week that I had ever even heard of these guys. That scares me, and I'm very glad. No offense, I'm glad that you hadn't heard of them either, because I started thinking maybe I'm alone in this. Maybe everybody's heard of them, and I've just been stuck, you know, dealing with Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and Tedros and the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
But Peter, Doctor, these guys, this is bad, and I do want to draw your attention to them. Obviously not here live on the show, but take a look at them. I did an entire show on them after I did my own research.
Well, let's talk about them. Hey, go. Talk about some more. Now there is a new group that's part of, that Bill Gates is involved with. And I think this is different. That's actually on the
platform. This is different?
It's actually on the platform of Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum. And that I just heard of a few weeks ago. So, but is this on another platform, or is it something of its own?
This is its own platform. This is what makes this so terrifying, because apparently, so they have this website. I think it's just the website itself is just inclusivecapitalism.com or something to that effect. Just do a search on Google, or preferably DuckDuckGo or Brave Search. Do a search for Council for Inclusive Capitalism. You'll find that these guys, they're echoing pretty much what the World Economic Forum is saying. And again, we're talking about a group that was organized and put together and founded very recently by the Rothschilds, that is backed by the Vatican, backed by the Rockefellers. I'm not kidding. Well, I am not kidding. Okay? You laugh, but this is reality.
No, it's anxiety. I had to look it up. The laughter is anxiety. Oh, my God.
I mean, that's the thing that's crazy about this, Doctor, is that we think we know who the bad guys are. And the real bad guys, the ones that, again, are what Brandon Smith over at alt-market says is the tip of the spear. These are the people that get the action done. The World Economic Forum, they get in front of cameras. They talk about theories. They say, oh, you know, you will owe nothing and you will be happy. You can eat bugs and all this other stuff. They're talking about it. But this Council for Inclusive Capitalism is initiating the plan. Worldwide, it's almost as if the World Economic Forum, they're almost like the figurehead. They're, you know, if we were in England, they would be the royals, whereas this CIC, as they call themselves, they're the parliament. They're the actual power behind, you know, that this organization or this group, this cabal of liberal world order types. So I'm concerned, especially considering that I hadn't heard of them, and everybody I've talked to, yourself included, hadn't heard of them before recently either.
No, that is very interesting, and it's scary. I haven't heard of the Rothschilds being involved in any of the recent events I've been looking at. That's very scary. Do they have corporate members? I mean, do you want to talk about it some more, or we can?
No, let's. I think that's a good teaser, because here's the thing. This is something, you know, if we had 60 minutes, I don't think we could scratch the surface. This is something that everybody needs to just be aware of. Start doing your own research. And, you know, let's try to get these guys exposed, because we've done a fairly good job of exposing the World Economic Forum. You yourself and your show and all of your work has done an extraordinary job of exposing the World Health Organization, as well as the minions of the CDC and the FDA. But now we need to get more help. Now we need people to be aware that the CIC exists, and let's start getting them out in front of the masses. So I think we get in that part there. I could talk about anything, brother. You know that. Let's talk about let's talk about Omicron BA.5. How about that?
Take over and tell us about Omicron B.
Well, this thing, they're pushing it. They're pushing it as if this is supposed to be the next big thing. That this is the most contagious, the most concerning, you know, ready to have face mask mandates everywhere. But the thing that I think a lot of people are missing, the thing that's concerning the most about it, is the fact that they're talking about having an Omicron-specific vaccine, which would mean that if you've been double jabbed, triple jabbed, quadruple jabbed, doesn't matter, you start on at square one. Those other vaccines, they're not protecting against this. Neither is natural immunity, by the way, according to at least the quote unquote experts. They're saying the natural immunity isn't even stopping this. So now they're saying you're going to have to, in the very near future, start over with brand new mRNA jabs. That, to me, that's the, I mean, we're talking about pandemic panic theater 2.0. Then, of course, there's the monkeypox. What have you been following Omicron or this BA.5
yeah.
variant? Just what do you know about it?
Just a little bit. I think it's being really played up in Canada. And people there are very afraid that this is going to happen. The question is, where do these things come from? And none of them so far have turned out to be as bad as the Chinese virus. None of them, because the way it works, folks, is the virus that makes it on Earth in the evolutionary process is the one that kills fewer people but spreads more rapidly. And one of the ways you spread more rapidly is by not killing off your host too soon. So the tendency is for a variant that comes out of another virus, respiratory virus, is for it to be less lethal, but more able to infect people. And it's very possible that some of these are lab made. I've found no proof one way or another, and you might have, because you could be up on things clearly more than I am, some things clearly, even if they're medical. But I think more of what we're seeing is that when you give a crappy vaccine to people that doesn't work, like the basic COVID vaccines, what it provides is a breeding ground for alternatives, because it's not eradicating the virus in your body. It's giving the virus in your body a chance to react to a challenge. So new viruses, new variations on the virus get a chance to multiply because the virus hasn't been killed off. So we have brought about with, and this is not new news, people have known this. So this has brought about one after another, multiple mutations. It's a mutation generator. Isn't that nice? They injected us with a mutation generator. And the whole plan is constant terror and constant threats and constant fears. We really need to stop being afraid of what they tell us and just to be afraid of them and to focus on them with all of our might.
Or we could just not be afraid at all and just go live off in Montana at a homestead. And I'll invite everybody when I get my gulch built, I'll invite everybody that I like, including you and Ginger. And we'll just hide away from the rest of society and not have to fear anything. We'll just have our guns and our natural food.
I just hope some of those guns can shoot down drones, because it could be hard to find a safe place. I'm working on something brand new, which is interesting. You're certainly aware. By the way, it's just nice to see you. I just wanted to say that.
It's nice to see you.
Yeah. I've been on your show twice, right?
Twice. And a third time coming up. If I hadn't gotten sick, it would have already been three times.
Oh, that's how Ginger knew you weren't well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We should have had you on before. So we'll have you on again. I can't wait to get both of you guys on, by the way. It's not just one on one.
She likes you. We might be able to get that done. I've been working on it a lot. And so has Malcolm. You know, Malcolm has gotten her to do the radio show with me. So our radio show is a joint show. And it's the first time. He's sweet talked her. If I were a little younger, man, I'd be very jealous. Yeah. Oh my God, we are at our break. Go to break. Well, welcome back, folks, to Refounding America, Reclaim Yourself on Brighteon.tv and Roku, Real TV. I can't believe I'm on real TV. I think I looked myself up once on Roku. I couldn't believe it. I was on real TV. I used to be on TV a lot until they canceled me in the 1990s, you folks. I was on every possible TV show. Oh, God. Life is interesting. It's more fun now. I get to talk with people like J.D. Rucker. Have you been following the, J.D., the mass psychosis, the mass hypnosis, the mass formation is what he calls it, and his name is Matthias Esmet. Well, I knew the minute I saw the guy and listened to him a little bit that he was an absolute phony. And he has swept Europe. Now he's sweeping the U.S. He's got some of the finest people in the freedom movement speaking well of him. So I went back to look at, to listen to some of his radio shows to start with, some of his interviews. And I found three of them out of Europe. And in every one of them, he very quietly says and is ignored, by the way, there are no conspiracy theories. This is just, there's no conspiracies going on. It's, this is just the people themselves. And he mumbles something like that. And it's mass formation. It's mass psychosis. And people don't think about it the way I do instantly because I'm a psychiatrist. I know that psychiatrists and therapists, and especially Freudians, are very self-involved, narcissistic, blaming other people kind of folks. And I could just tell immediately he's trying to blame people for having a mass psychosis when they're being driven out of their minds by totalitarian torture in the name of COVID-19. And so my wife asked for a advanced copy, and they sent us one. And I'm reviewing it this, I'll have column up, with the help of Ginger, this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on Malcolm's,
AmericaOutloud.com?
AmericaOutloud.com. God bless Malcolm. Mm-hmm. We all love Malcolm. So, a column, a three-part column on, and then on Sunday, I'm going to go on a Malcolm special on the same platform, America Out Loud, and I'm going to talk about it. But it's very interesting. What he has done is to formulate a concept that there is no evil in the world, that even Hitler was just misled by mass hypnosis, that there are no totalitarians systematically planning or strategizing about how to control us or corrupt us or take away our wealth and so on and so forth. Every historian, and I quote one from the 1500s, Etienne Laboté, all historians know that people who are always trying to run the world, it's just a matter of how much world they think they can run, and they do it by conniving and conspiring and killing family members who get in the way and just doing whatever they need to do to make their conspiracy come true and take over the world. And here's a man denying that that ever happens or hardly ever happens and certainly hasn't happened in modern times, not even in World War II. When we had the Japanese conspiring to take over the world, the Nazis conspiring to take over the world, and the conspirers of all time, the communists in Russia, the communists in China, and the communists wherever they were, who have a mandate to conspire among themselves to rule the whole world. No exaggeration there, is there, Jay?
No, it's all true.
True. And so this is the book. It's called The Psychology of Totalitarianism. Folks, if any of you folks who've been endorsing him in our movement, you know, please reconsider. The easiest way would be to get all three of my write-ups on some of the best work I've done coming out on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week. And realize that there are people who want you to believe in absolute nonsense. who want to cover up for the enormous conspiracies that have gone on. And today, JD's told us about yet another one. Because believe me, they're not gonna tell you everything they're doing. And believe me, whether they did or not, you're gonna have a conspiracy, even if they shout it to the world. Legally, a conspiracy has nothing to do with secrecy, believe it or not. I had to tell in my article that to Desmond, because, you know, he says, oh, people are talking about it. It's not a conspiracy. Blah, blah, blah. The law says a conspiracy is when people collaborate together to do harm, do bad things. Mm-hmm. And so we got conspiracies around us burgeoning and developing around the whole issue of a new world order. Who is going to govern us? How are they going to govern us? And you can be sure that the Chinese do not want to stop short of workers of the world unite and be our slaves, because that is what they do. They want to unite people to be their slaves. It's their fundamental approach to life. Your thoughts about it? Had you thought much about Desmond?
I do. I mean, I have. But I'm really more interested in hearing more of what you're saying. And obviously, we'll read what you have what you put together, you and Ginger put together in a three-part series, you said, starting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at AmericaOutLoud.com?
Yep, and then Sunday, I'm going to be on talking about it.
And then you'll be talking about it. So from what I can understand, and I haven't read the book, The Psychology of Totalitarianism by Matthias Desmond. I haven't read the book myself. I am familiar with his push, what he calls mass formation psychosis and all that stuff, not nearly as familiar as you are. The main thing that you're against is that he's basically denying that there is conspiracies. There are conspiracies involved in this, and he's really trying to blame the people. Is that kind of what he does in the book?
It's exactly what he's doing, and it's quite bizarre, because he's actually saying that the people themselves generate totalitarianism. This sentence is very close to that in the book. And they do it by somehow from within themselves, with this need or despair that they create, they communicate it to each other. Now, how do they do that? Well, it's pretty bizarre. On the one hand, he compares those of us who are feeling these things. And on top of it, he says that people who invent these conspiracies are also suffering from mass formation of a slightly different kind, because they're just looking more at what's happening to everybody and how weird everybody's behaving. And so they decide it can't be the people themselves. It must be something else. So they get a simple-minded, he says, explanation for something else. And they make up a conspiracy theory to satisfy their own needs, because these people are confused and intensely anxious and terribly in need of having something to believe. This is what he says. And that's me and you. I mean, man.
I must be intensely anxious. I don't feel it, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he knows more about us than we know about ourselves. You know, I will admit, again, and I have been following this whole concept, he's not the only one out there pushing it. You have some respected people, such as Dr. Robert Malone is pushing variations of it, as well as Dr. Joseph Bacola. I promise myself not to name names,
but please, you go ahead and name a few more.
I don't mind naming names.
Yeah, I don't want to name brother. Go ahead. So who else are you going to name?
I didn't get canceled in 1994 like you did, but I've been canceled at least a lot recently. So I'm okay with it. I don't mind people coming after me. And I do like and respect a lot of these people. But when it comes to this, I do, of course, I love and respect you and Ginger. And if you're telling me, I can't wait to read this article. This will be there's three articles, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at AmericaOutLoud.com, because that's exactly what, you know, before I read the book, I need to know, what is it that I'm getting into? And if what you're saying is true, and I have no reason to doubt that it is, then that does make me question what some of these people out there, you know, we're talking about celebrities like Joe Rogan, for example, Jordan Peterson. There's been a lot of, as you call them, you know, people that are part of this liberty movement, this push for freedom of people in the United States and all around. There are a lot of people like this. And so what are we going to do? I mean, is if they're wrong, if they're being misled, then I think that it's yours and my responsibility and anybody else out there to make sure to get this going. I'll put your articles up at thelibertydaily.com, where I'm editor on the weekends. We'll get your story a lot of views because we get about 10 million views a month over there. So that should be exciting.
Well, that'd be great. I hadn't thought of that. We wrestle.
I thought that's why you were telling me in the first place. I thought, oh, he's trying to get his article promoted. All right, let's do it. This one sounds fun.
No, that could be my, that would be Ginger. Ginger would be doing that. I don't think. I'm a stupid intellectual. She's the real world person, my wife.
But I'm just stupid.
No, you're wonderful. But, oh, gosh. There's something about you that I just relax. This is one of my more relaxed shows. I loved it when Ginger said.
And see, we start off contentious.
Well, yeah. I mean, you misspoke, really.
I did. I know. I screwed it all up, but we're okay. We're back now. Now we're talking about Matthias. Any of my sins, what I said, are nothing compared to what this Matthias Desmond is talking about. So what else is he saying?
He's evil.
What is he saying? I mean, is he trying? Do you think that from a modus perspective, do you think that he's just trying to mislead us into not seeing the truth, or is he trying to take us down a darker path to where we actually see untruths being unfolded around us?
Oh my God, of course he's leading us down dark paths and doing it with all his might and doing it with a bait and switch, and that he didn't say the things outright that would have gotten him in trouble with all these people you're mentioning. All he said, well, there aren't any conspiracies. And somehow, because he was so sympathetic and nice and slimy, and because he was talking about all the damage that people were experiencing under COVID-19. That's what he seduced people in with. He would describe accurately even some of the things that Fauci would say that was stupid and all that, and get people to think, oh, you know, he understands. But his thesis is that people like Fauci just genuinely mistaken and making some mistakes, and there is no real collaboration going on to foist anything off on people. They're all well-meaning people. He's very careful about that. And that it's errors and mistakes, but the people went crazy and believed some of the worst things.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to read your
Now, I'll tell you how he has a couple of theories on how mass formation is formed. Now, being a psychiatrist and a researcher, I was very interested. How do you get everybody in the world practically in different countries and cultures? So he compares us to, and this is us, I mean, really got to face it. We are like starlings in a murmuration, which is these wonderful flocks that can fly this way and that way in unison. We're more like watching the flocks and half joining the flocks because we're writing about the flocks. And then he says that it's like beyond, I'm not going to quote him. I'm going to pick his book up. But he says, but it's really beyond, you know, understanding, because it's like they're all these people, the masses, they're like single cells in a larger organism, all reverberating. He uses a different word than reverberating because an editor has sent it to. I don't send my articles to editors. For one thing, they get edited on America Out Loud. But I did this time because it's so important. And she said, well, that word doesn't make sense. So I put sick next to it. But it's about reverberating. And then he really gets interesting because he's been reading a very great writer and thinker, Le Bon, L-E-B-O-N, on the madness of crowds. He published in 1895, then another guy, McDougall. I've been reading this stuff and thinking about this stuff my whole life, frankly. And there's a problem with attributing it to the, and this I had fun with, but it's pretty dry fun. There's a problem with attributing it to the madness of crowds because crowds were outlawed. There were no crowds. So he's got to explain the madness of crowds when the actual psychodynamics are of isolation. Mm-hmm. And the people in isolation are not energized like I am right now and revved up because I'm in a crowd. You know, me and JD are a crowd. Look out. Madness. So this is a different side of me, folks. It's because I've had my head in this awful book for like a week, writing, and Ginger's been editing, coming up with brilliant ideas to throw into it. But it's been quite a week getting this, wanting to get this done, and I haven't wanted to do it.
They say that, you know, if you are going to tell a successful lie, the only way that you can do that is to sandwich it essentially with truths. Well, so it sounds as if what he's done is he said, okay, so these guys are crazy. There's a lot of bad things in the world. And no conspiracies about it.
No.
What else would he say?
No, they're not crazy. People like, no.
Oh, they're not crazy.
Bill Gates is crazy.
Not crazy.
Wonderful.
I'm talking about us. We're the crazy.
Us. Okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, he's saying
we're the madness.
He's saying
crowd.
Peter and JD are crazy.
Crazy. We don't even go in crowds. Have you been in a crowd lately?
I don't leave my office. Yeah. Okay. I don't even know what day it is. No, I'm just teasing.
The lockstep media, he was actually told by one of us, whom he won't name. Two of us said, there's no conspiracy going on behind the media. They just all think the same thing.
Well, let's declare definitively, and let's declare with a unified voice, that there are definitely conspiracies. Based upon your definition of what a conspiracy is, when you have multiple people that are conspiring to assert their will, to achieve their goals, that is, by definition, a conspiracy. And we know that's going on
if
today.
They're harming
we know
people.
That's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know that's going on across the board. And so
and
what
it
are
always
we supposed
has
to do about
gone
it? We're supposed
on.
To blame ourselves?
He actually says there are no raving lunatics starving for power over others. Hitler was hypnotized by the arising of out of us of totalitarianism. And then
this
he quotes,
does sound awful.
And then he quotes Hannah Arendt, I'm Jewish, as I mentioned earlier, a Jew who hates Jews and was hung out with Heidegger, who was a Nazi and anti-Semite and had a lot of sex with him for sure. God knows what else they exchanged. Ideas. Oh, my God. And she's anti-Israel, and she wrote this famous book, The Banality of Evil. And The Banality of Evil is, in a way, about this. It's so interesting, because she has a quote in there about, you know, how this stuff basically comes from the people. Look. He quotes her. Oh, now, listen. Talk about signaling. On page 2, oh my gosh, he quotes, who's the worst intellectual you can imagine in the world? Because I'm
Barack Obama.
No, a real intellectual. Writes books. Hangs out with
an actual.
An Israeli.
Oh gosh.
Giving you hints.
Are you're I'm stumped. You're gonna make me look dumber than I actually am. Who are we talking about?
No, I'm blocking on his name, so I gotta go into the stupid book.
Oh, okay.
here we are.
Oh, so I'm stalling.
Yuval Noah.
Oh,
Harari.
Okay.
The worst intellectual in the world.
Yeah, he's the to the point that I think sometimes I wonder if he's actually the guy that's in charge, above Klaus Schwab, not below. But we'll see. You never know, man.
I mean, twice in the book, including on page 2. Now, that's signaling, because I try to explain that, Bill Gates would actually talk about me and wants less people, and, you know, and he was going to do RNA and DNA vaccines. That doesn't mean he's not conspiring underneath to do it, and people love to signal. And there were a lot of reasons why Fauci was signaling all the time. People don't even know how much he was signaling. I mean, 10 days before Trump's inauguration at a, wait, how am I on time? Okay. 2 minutes or so. But 10 days before Trump's inauguration, he was the key speaker at a big global health convention about the next pandemic put on by Georgetown University. And he actually said that Trump was going to have a pandemic, and he was certain of it. So why did they signal? Well, for one thing, they're all narcissistic pigs. They're all self-glorifying. They're like the signaling that goes on by mass murderers. They almost always signal because it's grandiosity. I am going to kill. Oops, I'm all powerful. And
because they're on SSRIs.
I wonder how many of them are on SSRIs. So, and they also signal because they want support. I mean, he right. said those things, a major conference from people around the world, and he wanted more money, more support. And why do they hold these games that signal what they're going to do that people know about? They don't know about all of them. Well, that's in the book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, my and Ginger's book. But they do it because they want to practice. They want to get people involved. They want to work with the Russians and work with the Chinese, have all these things happen together. And it's hard to do that in absolute secrecy. So they just do it. And besides, they didn't do it enough for anybody to be alert. I'm going, I was the only one who wrote a book about it. Now we got a couple of books, a couple of good ones.
You got some several good ones, and people can get them at wearethepray.com. That's
you got 2 minutes
where I go, by the way.
My God, you got 42 seconds. Finish up the show.
I got no time at all. I have so much more that I could possibly say. They're just going to have to go to
tell people how they can get in touch with you. 33 seconds. 32 seconds.
Best ways to go. You can get me on Twitter at JD Rucker. You can get me at AmericaFirstReport.com, which is my new website. JDRucker.com, which if you're watching on the screen, they've got it very nicely placed there. Or just sign up for my Substack. That's the easiest way to stay in touch. jdrucker.substack.com. Dr. Bregan, it has been an honor and a pleasure being on with you today, sir. Now, I've got to come on to your show again so that we can be equal, so that we can both be on each other's show twice.
You got it, but there's 3 seconds left. Goodbye, folks. Wonderful audience. Great guest.